And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
See the day.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show, the very best of the season to you, wherever you're joining us across the province or on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network of 25 cities. Now, it's our home for the holiday show, which this year we're going to take you to a distant continent as well as south of the border to California and a couple of stops here closer to home. You know, we do this show every year because we like to just get in touch with people and talk a little bit about their holiday experiences growing up, the kind of things that they treasure, the things that they've taken forward, the kind of things they're passing on to their kids. And, you know, it's just that time of the year when we all need to take a breath and slow down and, you know, soak in how lucky we are to be living in this part of the world. Now, on today's show, two old friends, David Schofield and DJ Kearney, join us. Of course, David was I call him the original buyer at the BCLDB, worked at that specialty store in downtown Vancouver, the first one that opened, and really set the stage for what I would say would be the launch of the wine culture in British Columbia. And of course, DJ, longtime educator, now working at the Terminal City Club with 1,300 members looking after them. So they'll be a treat to talk to. Evan Goldstein. Evan grew up in the restaurant business. His mother, of course, Joyce, was a famous restaurateur at Square One in San Francisco. He's going to talk a little bit about what it means to be Jew-ish when during the holidays. And we're going to talk prime rib with him and wines to match. He's a master at matching wine and food. Phil McGann, remember Phil McGann, winemaker checkmate? He's over in Australia. He joins us from King Valley to talk about his experiences, which are different than ours. I think he's going to tell us it's going to be 35 to 40 degrees there during Christmas, so that'll be fun to hear that. He grew up in a large family of 10. But up next, Christine Coletta, co-owner of Haywire and Garnet Valley Ranch, takes us home for the holidays. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a place to fall in love with winter all over again. Enjoy mountain adventures and reward yourself after a day on the hill with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing winter getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and highway conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Run, run, Rudolph! Santa's gotta make it to town. Santa, make him hurry, tell him he can take the free
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to our home for the holiday show. And a shout out to everyone listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. It's that time of the year, and when we like to get in touch with some of our favorite friends in the wine business and have a chat about their experiences growing up during the holidays and traditions that they share today. And our first guest is Christine Coletta. She's the co-owner of Haywire Winery in Garnet Valley in the gorgeous Summerland area. Christine, how are you? Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah. Are you a person who gets stressed out by the holidays? Or
absolutely not. We give a minimal amount of gifts, so it's perfect.
Oh, that's great.
We're all about cash.
You're all about cash. Yeah.
Yeah. E-wire some cash to the kids.
Cash.
And buy their own stuff.
And money management.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's talk about growing up. Were you from a big family, or how did that start for you?
Well, I grew up in Vancouver on the west side,
uh-huh.
so close to the university endowment lands and
yep.
Spanish Bank, so grubbing around in the forest and down at the beach. We didn't really have a lot of snow in Vancouver
right.
growing up, but once in a while we would, and it would be absolutely magical. We came from a small family. It was just my brother and I and my parents, so it was pretty manageable.
Yeah, sounds like it. And would you all get out? I grew up in Ontario, and often we wouldn't get out on Christmas Day. We'd be snowed in, which was great too. But here, there's usually you see people walking everywhere.
Yes, so we had some funny little traditions, and one of them was that my parents were both very task oriented. At one point, moved Christmas up a day to the 24th.
Now that sounds like a Coletta thing.
It really sounds like me, right? So
yeah.
You see where I get it from.
Yeah.
So it wasn't done for heritage or religious reasons,
yeah.
but it was just done so we could get it over with.
Wow.
And my parents could check it off the to-do list.
It was really
a very hurried, like the tree went up.
Oh, my God.
The decorations were there. The presents were under it. And then yeah. a few days later, it was gone.
Wow. Wow. That explains a lot.
It really does. And I actually must tell you that I put my tree up this year on November 25th.
Holy smokes.
So I'm keeping it up for a while.
You're keeping it up for a while. Well, you got a bunch of grandkids now to share that tree
yeah.
with.
We do. We have 15 grandkids, but none of them are coming for Christmas because they are all going to Mexico this year.
Oh, wow.
So, we'll just have our daughter Allison and her husband.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nice and manageable.
And a few big dogs.
We have three beautiful Great Pyrenees dogs, yes.
Boy, I bet they like turkey.
They do. They love everything that comes out of the kitchen.
Okay, I want to know, what about a favorite gift when you were growing up? Was there something that you hoped to get and you received, or one that went wrong?
Well, I remember getting my very first Barbie doll, and I thought that was pretty timely, given the Barbie movie is making big smash now.
Yeah.
And my grandfather said some very negative sexual remark about Barbie's figure.
Oh, wow.
And I was very traumatized by that. I won't repeat what he said.
Okay, please don't.
My mother and father were horrified, too. And so Barbie kind of was like, oh. So it was something highly anticipated that ended up kind of being like a bit of a downer present. But one year we had my brother, who was a little younger than me, got up at 4 a.m. and opened up all
the
presents
gifts
that were under the tree.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, it is a total classic. So nobody knew what was for who it had come from.
Oh, wow.
It was a nightmare. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then another year, my dad, who was super tidy and was tidying up wrapping paper before we even finished opening the gift, threw out a really expensive gift certificate for my mother from Edward Chapman and put it in the fireplace.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
So, we had a few Christmases that, really didn't turn out the way my parents had anticipated.
Wow. Our guest is Christine Coletta. Of course, she's from Haywire, a winery in the Okanagan and Garnet Valley Ranch. And I'm learning a lot about why she's so efficient. Sounds like she grew up in a very efficient household, especially at Christmas time. Have you taken some tradition? Like, obviously, you got your tree up early. Is there something that is very traditional that will be on your table or during Christmas or New Year's?
Well, there's two things that we did growing up. And number one was to have a treasure hunt. And my parents would make these elaborate treasure hunts that would take my brother and I outside, downstairs, upstairs. And I've carried that on. And it's so much fun. But the challenge is kids get older. You have to really, really, really try and dig in to make them work. Yeah. Otherwise, they've solved it in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for me creating the hunt and then watching them do it. So that's a tradition that we've carried on. And then another one is that we play hide and seek. So we turn out all the lights in the house and hide.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody has to go and catch everyone, and the last person found is it. So we go all over the house. We turn every light off, and it's a tradition that some of my friends have started as well with their families.
And are you a turkey house or a ham house, or what's the big dish for Christmas?
Oh, we are a ham house on Thanksgiving and a turkey house on Christmas.
Wow,
yeah.
That
sounds
great.
The two are never to be confused.
And is there a dish that has to be at the table or that can't be on the table?
Well, the dish that has to be on the table is bread stuffing, made the proper way, with no currants or cranberries in it. And then the second one is that there is a boycott and a ban on molded jellied salads. So, you know those things that your old aunt used to bring?
Oh, my God, I'm with you.
Mini marshmallows and...
Yeah.
Shredded carrots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the wine business, I have to ask. So what will you be serving? What will you be pulling out for dinner on Christmas Day?
Well, there's a couple of wines. There's one which is a Zumhombrich 2003 that I found in my cellar I've been waiting to try. And I think that will be fantastic with my turkey.
Yeah.
And I also have a few bottles of the Riesling that we made for Mike Bernardo at the winery.
Oh, wow.
And that was in 2014.
Yeah.
And I had one bottle last year, and it was absolutely fabulous. And I'm excited to try the other bottle this year as well. And then, of course, we have our narrative sparkling wine, which we're releasing in a new closure.
Yeah.
So it's coming out in a lightweight glass with a Stelvin closure. So it's super easy to open it, pour a glass, and
fantastic.
Then put it back in the fridge.
Yeah.
So that is also going to be on the table.
Wow. Well, Christine, you have been a great advocate for, organics, biodynamics, and sustainability, reducing your footprint. And before I let you go, I want you to just update us a little bit on this incredible venture you've taken on with, how would you describe it? Is it recycled natural gas or?
It's renewable.
Renewable, sorry, yeah.
Yes, renewables. And so essentially they're making natural gas from cow manure and garbage. And so there's an option with Fortis BC that you can sign on for that program. And it's very easy to do, and it costs a little bit more than our average Fortis bill.
Yep.
But we've reduced our, our carbon emissions significantly by switching.
Yeah.
So I really encourage everyone to look into it, whether you're a business owner or a homeowner. It's all up on the Fortis website, and it's super easy to do. And it does make a significant difference
in
the long run.
Let's just tell people how much you've reduced yours, because it's pretty impressive.
Yes, I think we reduced it by, I'm not exactly sure of the number, but I think it's around 30% with that one initiative.
Yeah.
And then with the glass that I told you about, we're switching to the lightweight glass. We're going to save 360,000 pounds of glass that has to be transported back and forth to market,
yep,
and also then go to the landfill and be crushed.
That's probably the best Christmas present you could give the province. And wouldn't it be great if all your colleagues were able to pull that off in the next year or two and we reduced our carbon footprint by 30% right in the Okanagan?
Well, that's going to be my phone calls to all of them starting January 1.
Yeah. And probably for you, that'll be December 30th or 29th.
Well, yes. Yeah. I'll get cracking on it a bit earlier when they're not suspecting my call.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't call you when you woke up this morning at 4 a.m., but, you know, we couldn't get in the studio. It was still locked.
No worries, but I'm ready for a nap now. So, you know, we'll
Christine, thanks so much. Great to catch up with you. Have a great holiday season.
Same to you, Tony, and always wonderful to chat with you.
Okay, Christine Coletta, co-owner of Haywire Winery and Garnet Valley Ranch. Still ahead, Phil McGann joins us. He's the CEO and chief winemaker at King Valley Wines in Australia. You probably know him from his days at Checkmate. We'll check in with him about his Down Under holiday ideas. It's on the radio weekly in 25 cities across British Columbia and on demand on all the major platforms, podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Visit Penticton this holiday season for mountain adventures and South Okanagan wine. Enjoy champagne powder and après-ski at Apex Mountain or Baldy Resort, or step into cross-country skiing at Nickel Plate Nordic Center. After a day in the snow, slow down and experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Before you go to Penticton, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and winter highway conditions. And for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via StayVancouverHotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see.
Hello, British Columbia and across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Welcome back to our home for the holidays show. Our next guest is Phil McGann. He's the CEO and chief winemaker at King Valley Wines in Victoria, Australia. But many of you will know Phil from his days at Checkmate Winery in British Columbia, where he was the King of Merlot and Chardonnay. Phil, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks, Tony. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm excited to talk to you about home for the holidays, because it's probably going to be 35 degrees there, and that's something we never experience over the holidays, and I doubt it's going to snow.
No, I don't think I have much snow. It'll probably be pushing 35 to 40, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be good. Be a day by the pool.
A day by the pool. So when you were a kid, like, did you go to the beach on Christmas? Like, what do people do?
No, a lot of Australians do. They go to the beach. They'll go to the beach. You know, the young crew during the cities will say in Sydney, they'll head to somewhere like Bondi and have a day on the beach, you know, imbibing and with their friends. We grew up inland, so we pretty much had, we're out on farm, so you know, it was obviously warm, but we'd play a cricket match or something like that, and you'd have a nice bunch. You know, it was usually, instead of like a, you might have a turkey or something warm in say, BC, we'd have something like cold ham and salad, that sort of thing. Seafood always ranging big.
Yeah.
Lots of prawns, what we call Moreton Bay bugs or Balmain bugs in Australia. They're a hard shell kind of thing, but we'd have them as well, that sort of thing.
So, yeah, I love those Moreton Bay bugs. They're a lot of fun. They don't sound good, but they taste good.
They do taste.
Yeah. So you grew up on a farm. Like, how many were in your family?
I was one of 10 kids, so... Yeah,
wow.
So it was pretty crazy. It was the youngest of 10, so we always had lots of people around at Christmas time. Usually direct family, really, because we're such a big family.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much the cousins going around, but it was a great time.
You didn't want to be last. You didn't want to be last for dinner, I guess.
No, but Mum and Dad always had plenty of it, so we never missed out there. So, So Dad always took great pride in his ham that he prepared, so... More clothes in it, the better for Dad. So it was always quite a clovey for the ham, but it was good.
Yeah, did that ham have pineapple on it?
Oh, I may have once or twice. I can remember it being glazed with the pineapple. Of course, it was a sliced pineapple from the tin.
Yeah. You've saved the pineapple for the Chardonnay now, the more tropical.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the tropical fruits.
My guest is Phil McGann. He is the CEO and chief winemaker at King Valley Wines in Victoria, Australia. Of course, had quite a stint here in British Columbia when the weather was cooler. Well, when you were a little guy, what kind of gifts did you get? Or was there something you really wanted that you got one of those years when you were a youngster?
I think when I was a little fellow, about 5 or 6, the thing I prided most was the year that, I guess it was Santa then, but Mum and Dad, probably Dad, really got me a little miniature combine harvester or header. I was very proud of that. I always compared a dad my header to his. So, yeah, it was something that I remember really loving. But there's another cool one. It wasn't so much for me, but I remember one of my brothers getting a little steam tractor as well. So we always used to fire that up.
Wow, you're a real farm boy.
Yeah, we were. We were farm boys. Yeah. In between that, we get cricket bats or skateboards. So, yeah, cricket always loomed large. We used to play cricket, and I guess in terms of a cricket pitch, our pitch had a bit of a wicked spot just in front, on a good length in what they call in cricket, so the ball would bounce and rear up at your head. So there'd be lots of edges in through the windows of the house. So, yeah.
All right. Just to keep your mother busy, because she had nothing else to do.
I can remember my mum eating a mango one day and my brother doing a big shot through the window right past me.
Great. So in Australia, is Christmas as big as New Year's, or New Year's bigger, or how does that go?
No, Australia, Christmas is huge in Australia. It's we don't have Thanksgiving, so we only have the two. You know, Easter is probably the big thing in Australia that's equivalent to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then Christmas is the other big event. It is a big family time. It's over the summer, so a lot of businesses close down. So, no, it's a huge deal in Australia. Just obviously very different, but it's more, it's warm. It's outdoorsy, so families will get together. They'll tend to be big gatherings. So at my family now, if we all get together, it'll be at one of my brother's or sister's houses, and there could be 50, 60 of us there.
Wow.
You know, it's very informal, outside. You know, you'll either have, you know, the barbecue going, or you'll have everyone a bigger plate. That sort of thing.
So, yeah. You park the combine so out on the perimeter?
I think so. I don't know where that little combine's gone anymore. It's been lost over the years.
Well, Phil, you spent a number of years in North America, in California, and in the Okanagan. Did you pick up any tradition there that you share now back in Australia?
I don't know so much that we share. We do we do like having, you know, my direct family, we tend to have a warm meal on Christmas Day.
Oh.
I think that's also a little bit traditionally because my wife's family is Eastern European, so we've kind of always done that. That's in our little nuclear family, we do that.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that we miss the most is just Christmas. It's pretty special in the Northern Hemisphere. I think it's just with the snow, and we really miss that, those silent nights with the snow coming down, that, you know, that sort of thing that would happen during Christmas time.
Yeah.
That for us was always quite special. So we do miss that quite dearly. So I just think the cadence of the year is a little different, and the Christmas in some ways to me is a bit more relaxing in Canada.
Yeah.
Or even in California. Whereas here, just the way it is with the seasons, you're going into vintage, so you're on a ramping up.
Yeah.
Whereas over there, you're ramping down, you can kind of relax. Whereas here, it's you've got all this stuff to do, and you take time out to have Christmas, but it's a little bit different in that respect. Yeah.
Well, it's always good to be the CEO, though. You might have a few other people who can help out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. No, we do. We have a few people help out.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it all the time, Tony. That's all.
Well, yeah, of course you are. And by the way, we miss you here in BC too, because you were such a great addition to the fabric of BC winemaking. But nice to be back home. People understand you now more easily in Australia than they did here in the Okanagan?
Well, it took me a while to get used, actually, to coming back to Australia full time. It took me a good year to settle back in.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's, I think people always struggle to understand me, Tony, to be honest.
Yeah.
Whenever I give instructions, they always seem to go awry in some way. But I think it took me a while just to get used to the Australian way of doing things again.
Yeah.
So, it was quite an adjustment coming back. I was surprised at how much of an adjustment it was. Actually.
Well, we're all wondering what you're going to open on Christmas Day, what kind of wines you'll be serving.
Well, it'll be nice and warm. We'll probably have some bubbly, I'd say. Probably, we always try to have a French champagne in there somewhere, so we'll probably have something like that in there. We'll probably be more on the aromatic whites, probably.
Yeah.
Or some Semillon, maybe some old Hunter Semillon might pull out.
Nice.
Which would be good, but it always goes well with that kind of seafood and things like that we have at Christmas time. Still got a few checkmates there. I might pull out one of them for a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Perhaps one of the Merlots or a Chardonnay. Always partial to like a Bordeaux if there's ever one. If we have one, I think we have one or two. But we did, I did just buy a couple of bottles of Mount Mary, actually. So maybe we might pull out a Mount Mary for the day.
Oh, wow. You're really going large now.
Yeah,
something
like that. So, yeah. It should be nice.
Okay, and just before we go, for people who maybe don't know, tell us just a little bit about King Valley and what you're up to. What's your specialty? What are you growing there?
Yeah, so King Valley is quite unique. It's an Australian region that was settled in the early to mid-20th century by Italian immigrants. It was a tobacco farming region, but it's now illegal to grow tobacco in Australia. It has been for some time. So they diversified into planting grape varieties. And then, to their credit, they intentionally stuck with their heredage. So it's a region predominantly Italian, predominantly Italian varieties. So that's something, I don't think there's really another region like that in Australia. So, there's a lot of Prosecco or Galera,
yep.
Made. Pinot Grigio is a specialty mm-hmm. for the region, varying styles. A little bit of Garganega and Veduto, different sort of white varieties.
Wow.
Sangiovese is the main red, and Nebbiolo. So you can make really high-class Nebbiolo here in the right year. Some seasons, if the season's a bit marginal, it's a bit harder. Sangiovese is very consistent.
Yeah.
Often get behind that too. So there's some very good producers here. So, and the area's been kind of on the up, whereas it's been a tough time in the Australian wine industry, but the King Valley has weathered that very well and has been growing the whole time. So, yeah.
Phil, really great to catch up with you today. We want to extend our best to you and your family for the holidays. And thank you so much for joining us today and sharing some of your traditions from Australia.
Thanks, Tony, and you too. All the best for the holidays.
We'll catch up soon in the new year.
Okay, right on. See you.
Thanks. Phil McGann, Chief Winemaker, King Valley Wines. Still to come, Evan Goldstein, Master Sommelier, Wine Journalist and Educator. He joins us from San Francisco to talk about his early Christmas times. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We are home for the holidays.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credbaugh. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, it's the holiday season, so what's happening in Langley to get us in the festive spirit?
Well, Langley has been the backdrop for many TV holiday movies, so visiting this time of year can make you feel like you are stepping onto a holiday movie set. Whether you need to do some gift shopping, find the perfect Christmas tree, enjoy holiday lights, or spend a cozy afternoon in a restaurant, there is something for everyone in Langley.
Well, holiday lights are certainly a popular tradition this time of the year.
Yes, you could go to Glow Gardens, which is a walkable holiday lights, crafts, food trucks, and live performances, or Christmas in Williams Park, which is a drive-through light display that has been in Langley tradition for over 30 years.
Well, another tradition would be picking up the perfect Christmas tree.
Absolutely. I suggest coming to Langley as soon as possible. Our website lists tree farms, but they can sometimes sell out.
And if you're visiting the tree farms, there must be other farms and shops nearby to grab a few items for celebration meals.
That's right. JD Turkey Farms, the Riverside Cranberry Bog, Well Seasoned Gourmet Food Store, and Ralph's Farm Market are a few stops I like to make when hosting a special meal. And of course, a stop or two at one of our wineries is always on my list.
Sounds like the perfect opportunity to get what you need in one day. Anything else we shouldn't miss in Langley this month?
There are many locally owned shops where you can find a gift for anyone on your list. Options include local craft fairs, independently owned stores in historic Fort Langley, Farmgate shops, or the newly renovated Willowbrook Mall, complete with new restaurants so you can keep your energy up as you shop.
And as always, complete details for the events are on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We continue with our home for the holidays. And joining us now from San Francisco is Evan Goldstein. Evan's a master sommelier, a wine journalist, an educator, and a voice. The voice of wine for the San Francisco Giants, and a good friend. Evan, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well and looking forward to the holiday season and looking forward to spring training not too far down the road as we baseball hot stove league it right now to try and see who's going to be on the field next year.
So you're in the gym preparing for spring training or...?
No. I'm just meeting with some of my fellow executives and giving them feedback on player acquisitions, but I don't think I carry much sway.
All right. Well, we'll go back to what you really know about. Let's start with the holidays. When you were a kid, tell us a little bit about how the holidays went at the Goldstein residence.
Well, being a Goldstein right off the bat, you could probably infer that I'm Jewish. But
yeah.
My family literally put the ish in Jew-ish. So we're fairly secular Jews at that. And we had, you know, both a little bit of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
We did have a tree, although we weren't, you know, going to temple or to church on everything. And obviously look forward to presents and good stuff like that. But as much the meals. And we tended to be fairly traditional growing up, you know, obviously Thanksgiving, which we just celebrated here and you guys celebrated, I guess, the month before.
Yep.
Has always been my sort of favorite holiday, and that's fairly traditional traditional turkey and all of the good stuff. But for us, Christmas Day, because we didn't do Christmas Eve until I got married. My wife's family does that, so that's a whole different story.
Yep.
But Christmas Day was always very classic. Most usually prime rib. In fact, that's pretty much my memory of it, and all of the varying accoutrements, which as I got older meant also really good excuses to drink aged Bordeaux and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, I like that. What about gifting? Was that a big part of any of the holidays, or...?
No, well, we definitely gifted, you know, as I think as one gets older, the gifting element becomes a smaller part. When you're little and
yeah.
sitting there with your siblings trying to figure out who got more boxes or more stuff in their stockings and yeah. all of that, and probably more of a one-sided thing, at least initially, until myself and my sisters were old enough to realize that we should buy something for our parents a little bit, too, whether we chipped in and did a group gift, if you will, or yeah. something individual. And then as we've gotten older, it really has been more about getting together, you know, our own children. My wife Barbara and myself have two now adult children, and
right.
we sort of passed on the traditions with them. But I think even today, now that they're both adults and all that, it's less about the gifting and more about the getting together.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, you know, skiing and hiking and mountain, you know, getting out into the snow and cold weather. What happens in California? I hear it's cold now, but how about when you were young?
Well, both of my parents are not what I would call uber outsiders or uber athletic types. So my late father would never take us up skiing. My mother abhorred sports of all types except watching her beloved Golden State Warriors on TV. So we didn't see a lot of snow. The yeah. only snow I really saw was when I was in school in Colorado for a while. And, you know, my dorm room was like 30 minutes from Loveland the Denver area. But no, snow was not a big part of it.
Yeah.
We do have a tradition, my wife and myself, of hiking on New Year's Day more than
nice.
Anything with whoever will join us. But no, we tend to be fairly urban in our holiday approaches.
Right. Well, I like that. I think that's, you know, going for a hike is always good on New Year's Day. A lot of people do that here. Let's talk a bit about, you know, you grew up in the restaurant business. Your mother, of course, a famous restaurateur. And but you say that you didn't work on Christmas, which is unusual.
We were not open on Christmas, and that was by choice rather than anything. We would do New Year's Eve, and that was one of the biggest money-making evenings of the year.
Yeah.
Big menus and stuff like that, really cool wines and things that we offered. But for the, you know, the 12 years that Square One was open, it was never open for Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, just New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Let people...
Oh, it was nice for all of us to have the day off.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned beef. Like, were there any sort of traditional dishes that you still like to have over the holidays, or, you know, those days?
Oh, no, most definitely. I carry forward the family tradition of doing prime rib on Christmas Day. It's just something we've always done and
yep.
always look forward to, because none of us eat as much beef as we used to for varying reasons.
Yep.
But on New Year's Eve, that's kind of where I play around a little bit. You know, we have a low-key, now that I'm not working it anymore after all these years, I've historically brought people into my house rather than going out.
Yeah, nice.
And we tend to do something that's fairly... festive, but also something that I can do a lot of the prep work ahead of time
mm-hmm.
so that I can actually enjoy my company. So this past year, we did choucroute garni with
wow.
all of the various accoutrements.
Yeah.
Some years we've done that a couple times. Some years we've done it with all the varying pork products, and some years we've done it with like shellfish and seafood and things like that, because you can, you know, people
yeah.
do that as well too. I do paella from time to time, again, sort of very upscaled for New Year's Eve, but those are both dishes that are fairly communal in nature and sort of encourage people to go
yeah.
back and refill their plates as often as they want, but also that you can do a lot of the prep and assemblage, if you will, beforehand, so you're not... I refuse to cook anything that's sort of a la minute on a major holiday, because I end up spending way too much time in the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay, I'm booking my ticket for your New Year's party.
Open invitation,
yeah.
Anthony, anytime
yeah.
you want to come.
You wrote one of the greatest books on pairing food and wine. So many fantastic ideas in there. I feasted on those over the years. What can you tell us? Let's take your prime rib, you know, mm-hmm. rather than just Cabernet, like how would you break it down? How would you pair something with that?
Well, my prime rib is pretty straightforward. I mean, you're paying so much money for it anyway. You obviously yeah. want to put all of the focus on the meat itself, and hopefully it's well marbled and it's dry aged and all of that good stuff. So it really does command a wine that's going to not fight too much for it. So yeah. I have a tendency because of that probably to eschew younger wines, which sort of demand attention, kind of like younger children do, yeah. and go for things that are a little bit more seasoned, great around the temples like I am. So whether it's aged Bordeaux, aged Cabernet from California, but even playing around at times, we will often have multiple wines on the table because it's not, you know, appropriate, at least in my mind's eye, to be prescriptive about it. So I yeah. might have a varying array again, of aged Cabernets. And then the only thing I would tell people is that, you know, a lot of it might depend on what you use to rub or crust
right.
your prime rib. So I have one in my first book, Perfect Pairings, which is sort of crusted with a coffee rub. Yeah. And that obviously is a nice cue for certain oak elements, particularly after it torrifies in the oven. But, you know, some people like to do varying other rubs. Some people just do simple glazes with like mustard and soy
sure.
and things like that. And if that is a big factor, particularly if it's a smaller roast, you might want to, you know, keep that into consideration in terms of any flavors that might work with the wine you're picking.
Okay, I don't want to run out of time because I do want to ask you a question about champagne. I know you drink a bit of it, but people are always sort of bemused or confused about what they should serve with champagne, especially if it's an aperitif or it's before dinner. What's easy and what would you suggest for champagne?
Yeah, well, I like the idea of both texture, and I like the idea of salt with champagne as being something nice to cut with. So one of the things we do traditionally here, and your listeners shouldn't be scared off because it's really not that hard to make,
okay.
gougères, which are basically like yep. cream puffs with a little bit of cheese. You can stuff them. You can yep. serve them plain. You can put a little bit of caviar in them, a little bit of crab salad or something like that, and they go splendidly with champagne. And the other thing that's actually good, too, is to take a little bit of the caviar. It doesn't have to be the best caviar in the world.
Yeah.
And take a little bit of just sliced Iberico ham, and which is already a little bit salty.
Yeah.
Put the caviar on that and have that with champagne.
Wow.
It is a very decadent but very delicious accompaniment.
Oh, my God, Evan Goldstein, I am booking my ticket for your New Year's party. So great to catch up with you.
Always a treat, Anthony.
Yeah, and I'm going to get back to you in the new year. I want to hear more about the San Francisco Giants wine program and what's going to be tasted next year.
No, most definitely. And now that we've got one season under our belt, I have a little bit more stuff to talk about and to yeah. share with you.
You're swinging for the fences.
Always.
Evan, thanks so much. Have a great holiday.
And to you as well, and I look forward to catching up with you again in 2024.
Right on. That was Evan Goldstein, master sommelier, wine journalist, educator, written a lot of great books. He's the man from San Francisco. Up next, DJ Kearney, she's a wine educator and judge, and David Schofield, one-time buyer for the BCLDB, joins us to wrap up our Home for the Holidays. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you're home for the holidays.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Visit Penticton would like to wish you and yours a joyous holiday season. If you're traveling to Penticton over the holidays, you'll find no shortage of festive fun and winter activities to enjoy. From the 170-foot Christmas light tunnel and outdoor rink downtown to snowshoeing, skiing, hockey, and more. On New Year's Eve, celebrate in town and be sure to check out the fireworks. Enjoy your holiday and make sure to come back every year. For trip inspiration and to plan your vacation to Penticton now, go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Escape to Tin Horn Creek Vineyards on the captivating Golden Mile Bench in the heart of Oliver's Wine Country. Their wine shop awaits you Thursdays through Sundays from 11:30 to 4:30. Embrace the season with their Blanc de Blanc Sparkling, adding a lively note to your winter wanderings. Explore the wonders of the South Okanagan, where nature's beauty meets the art of winemaking. Plan your visit at tinhorn.com. Ready to welcome you.
Most people have a casual connection with wine, as in they like to drink it. We think it's essential to read the label and whenever possible to connect with the people who make the wine. They energize you, and unlike many businesses, they'll answer most all of your questions about where the wine comes from and how it's made. Then the next time you pour a glass of wine, you'll realize it's more than just something you like to drink. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and wherever you are in your wine journey, we'll meet you at GismondiOnWine.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back. Our best wishes from all our team here at the BC Food and Wine Radio Network for the happiest of seasons. It's our home for the holiday show, and we couldn't think of two people more suited to wrap up the show. DJ Kearney, director of wines at the Terminal City Club and a global wine expert and a longtime commentator on wines in Vancouver. David Schofield, former buyer, the guy who really started it all at the BCLDB, the specialty section and getting people hyped up on import wines, also joins us. It's so great to have the two of you in the studio. David, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
Miserable as ever, Tony.
There we go. That's my David.
No point being cheerful.
DJ, how are you?
Well, I am cheerful.
You
perpetually.
Are cheerful.
Perennially.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, the holidays are here. Yeah. What could be better?
Yeah. Let's quickly go back to being a kid. What do you remember most about the holidays, David, when you were a kid? Where did you spend your holidays?
I grew up in West Point Grey.
Ah.
The wilds of West Point Grey. What I remember is, you know, a lot of people crammed around the table.
Big family.
Big family. And turkey was a major production. It was my dad's aim was to have the biggest turkey in the Western Hemisphere.
and to cook it perfectly,
right.
which is always traumatic.
Right. And it needed to be stuffed, and it was such, you know, the turkey was so big, it would be several kilos of stuffing.
Right. I like turkeys that are bigger than the people eating it.
But you had an aga, so it fit in there, unlike my dad's
just
stuffing
barely.
It in. Our little
just
kitchen.
Barely.
Wow. Growing up with an aga, that explains a lot about you, David.
Right. It built character.
Yeah.
I was the one who put the coal
in. And patience. The coal. Oh, now we're really into
it. I'm serious.
I love it.
Yeah, it was the best.
So
yeah.
Cozy, though.
Oh, absolutely.
This time of year.
No, that was the thing. Yeah. Is people don't understand that. It's, you know, it's not about the cooking. It's about leaning against it while you're reading a book.
Yeah. And drinking some wine.
Wow. What a picture.
Yeah.
Way to go. DJ, how about you?
You know, a little tiny family. The only branch that came over from England when my dad was doing his PhD. So there were just the five of us. And dad cooked everything. It was always very Dickensian. There was goose. There were all the sides. There'd be a nice bottle of modest Rioja or a Bordeaux. But it was just a very, very cozy family time.
And did one of those dishes, has it made it to the every year since in your lifetime? Or was there something?
The bread sauce.
The bread sauce.
Being an English family, and some listeners will know exactly what bread sauce is, but it was...
You should tell them what it is.
Well, it's, you know, it's a very humble side. It's kind of...
It's amorphous goo that it happens to be white.
Exactly. It really is bread cooked in
Sounds
milk.
Sounds very English.
you take the only flavor comes from a small onion that you stud with cloves,
uh-huh.
and then it kind of, you know, macerates in the goo,
wow.
and you put it in a beautiful, you know, porcelain gravy boat kind of number, and it's a treasured English side
wow.
at Christmas time.
David, was there a gift or a book or something that you really treasured when you were a little guy at the for one
oh,
of
absolutely.
These Christmases?
No, I thought about this. Grade six.
Yeah.
Hockey skates.
Right on.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, it was a game changer.
Yeah. I got a pair of Bauer Black Panthers. I just couldn't.
Hey, only the finest.
Well, yeah, I think my father probably had to pay for it for 10 years, but I couldn't believe that I got that. Skates, they are a game changer.
Yeah, it was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed, something?
I got skates too. You know, I figure skated when I was younger, so that was, I think every year I got a new pair of figure skates and clothes. My wardrobe was revamped at
yeah.
Christmas time.
Right.
We had a lovely tradition, which I kept going with our kids, and that is a new pair of pajamas on Christmas Eve so that you could go to bed, you know, Santa would come, and you'd be looking fresh and
yeah.
and slick.
And you'd all have your black belts on in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for remembering, Tony, and always watching yourself in my path.
Black belt. Very impressive. Yeah.
A real one.
And a
black belt in shopping.
Yeah.
To steal a line from
that would be good.
Christine Coletta.
Yeah. What about wines or holiday wines? Were they a big part of growing up, or are they bigger now than they were then?
They're much bigger now than then. My dad liked, you know, modest, well-priced European wines, and your family didn't really drink a lot, so we've started yeah. our new traditions.
Yeah, but there was wine for guests.
Yeah,
but the wine that was always around was Harvey's Shooting Sherry.
I'm glad you said shooting.
Right. I'll never forget seeing on a menu at an Indian restaurant is Harvey's S.Tooting Sherry.
Oh, you can't top that.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
But we've tried to bring, you know, we've tried to bring a lot of interesting wines. Of course, we have something from the Haywire family, some Bub. But,
yeah.
you know, we'll pull out the stops and open some Krug. We've got a nice bottle of 1989 Bordeaux planned.
Oh, wow.
There will always be whites.
Yeah.
Currently, Rafael Palacios, his beautiful Godeo wines are
wow.
in our cellar. But, yeah, this is the time to splurge and open some special bottles.
Yeah.
Friend wine is what what it's all about.
Yeah.
Tony, I'm sure you think the same.
Oh, I do. And I know you had a tragedy in your life. Your wine cellar got burnt up many years ago. So that would be so traumatic for me to lose those old wines and
never
start
recovered.
Over.
Never recovered.
Yeah. Well, we try to help you out.
It's been at least a decade of heavy drinking, but still I haven't recovered.
Yeah. They become part of the family.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. What about, is Christmas bigger than New Year's or New Year's, or how do you treat the two?
Christmas is definitely bigger from the gastronomy point of view, but we started a really cool New Year's tradition when the kids were all teenagers, and that is having Dungeness crab
mm-hmm.
and French fries, like proper French fries. We have a deep fat fryer, which we bring out once a year at New Year's, and we do the twice cooked frites. Boil up Dungeness crabs. We make half a dozen different dips, and the kids and their friends would always come over.
Yeah.
And lots of champagne, you know, soda water for them, of course. And we've kept that going. We'll be doing it again this year.
Wow, I love that.
It's the best.
Yeah. I think David's in on that, not just the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. We're talking, by the way, with DJ Kearney. She's the director of wine at Terminal City Club, David Schofield. founded the BCLDB specialty wine program, basically, first flogging it in the stores, tackling people like Sid Cross and Albert Gifton, and moving up the chain to actually be, well, for many years, you bought wine and I wrote about it. It was, we were kind of in tandem, although we never worked together, but we, it was
but
great.
But we did.
It was great to sort of get the city rolling, and what a city it is. Great wine culture now, wouldn't you say, David?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not taken aback, but it's significant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess you're reminded when you travel, and sometimes you think, oh my God, you know, I mean, something that's a big deal in cities that are supposedly more cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
You know,
we've been doing it for ages.
We're used to.
Yeah. I was talking about that yesterday, like Michaela Morris did a Brunello tasting. There was at least 75, 80 people in that room, and a pile of wines, about 75 Brunellos. Like, these things don't happen everywhere, but in Vancouver now they happen more frequently, which is great. Deej, I mean, you work at the Terminal City Club. You have 1,300 people every week coming through, and you're buying wine for them. Is that a good experience?
It's a great experience. They're so receptive. They love wine and spirits and beer, and they, you know, they trust me, so I'm able to put a lot of interesting wines in front of them, and they just say yes.
Yeah, and you brought an interesting wine today. I wanted to very quickly cover that off because you've been working at Marquee Wine Cellar with a wine package.
Absolutely. So I've collaborated with the great John Clarides at Marquee and started a monthly pack called Discover with DJ, and that's to put wines like this one from Mexico in front of people when they might not choose it or know it's even available in the province. So it's a chance to put six wines in a box from all corners of the world, from Lebanon to Greece to Georgia to Armenia to Mexico and everything else. And they're all delicious, like this five grape crazy blend from
it is delicious.
Ensenada.
Yeah, so check that out at Marquee Wine Cellars. And you're going to be pouring it, I think. Are you on site?
You know, it launched on December 1st, but the pack is available at Marquee now.
And okay, great.
The next one will be the first week of January.
Yeah, fantastic.
Every month.
So great catching up with you guys to talk a little bit about the holidays. We need to get together and have a long chat.
Yes.
There are many people we need to talk about, David. You know.
Oh,
as we do in the wine business.
the Venice memory lane.
Yeah.
If they're not here, there's no point not talking about them.
Okay, very quickly. I hate to ask this question. Where would you want to go next in the wine world?
Georgia. Haven't been there yet.
Georgia. Wow.
I'll come too.
There you go. Yeah. Two for Georgia.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Great to have you in the studio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy
cheers,
holidays,
Tony.
Everyone. Cheers.
I feel like I'm home for the holidays.
We do too. Be safe, everyone.
Yeah, please
Merry
do.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, our guests, that was DJ Kearney and David Schofield. They were here for Home for the Holidays, and we are out of time. Listen, next week we're going to cap off the year with a masterclass session from wine legends around the world, so be prepared to open something interesting to drink while we discuss some of the great wines of the world with some of the best people in the wine business. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, director of operations Stu Ferguson, and for all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gizmani, wishing you a great week ahead with family and friends, and a very Merry Christmas to all.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gizmondi.